In the months leading up to the 9/11 terrorist attacks, thousands of people around the world reported having premonitions of airplanes crashing into skyscrapers. No one can explain how or why we have premonitions, but integrative medicine pioneer Larry Dossey believes they are more than just coincidence. The prolific writer of books on the healing effect of prayer and the mind-body-spirit connection, Dr. Dossey was in Tucson last week to address the annual conference of the Institute of Noetic Sciences. He took time to speak with Laura Markowitz about his new book, The Power of Premonitions.
Well, a premonition comes from Latin words meaning a forewarning. These things usually warn us about threats to our existence. And this is a clue, I think, about why these things arose in the first place in the history of our species. They probably related to survival, because any organism or creature that could see a little bit ahead of itself in space and time would have a survival advantage of avoiding threats to their existence.
So what scientific evidence is there that premonitions are more than just coincidence?
I'm impressed by a series of experiments now that number over 20 that have been replicated worldwide by different experimenters, pioneered in our country by Dr. Dean Radin, who is a senior scientist at the Institute of Noetic Sciences in California. The person is wired up to have some physiological measurement made. It may be their skin resistance to electrical conductivity. It could be their heart rate. It could be the diameter of their pupil, all of which change in response to stress. These are stress indicators in the body. So you're wired up to have these things measured. You're sitting in front of a computer, and the computer is going to choose randomly an image to show you on the computer screen. It's going to be one of two types, either a very pleasant, serene image like a scene from nature, or it's going to be exactly the opposite, something really shocking. For example, a grisly, colorful autopsy scene. You don't know which it's going to be. Now, if the image that is going to be shown to you on the computer is going to turn out to be one of these grisly things, before that happens, your body gears up with a stress response. And the question is, how in the world does your body know what the computer is going to do in the future? Now, this sounds absolutely weird. These things have been replicated, as I say. A lot of scientists have trouble with this. One who did was a friend of mine, a Nobel Prize-winning chemist, Dr. Kerry Mullis, who actually went out to Dr. Radin's laboratory to take up this issue with him and to argue with him. He's a very argumentative guy. And so Dr. Radin just hooked him up to the experimental setup. And Dr. Mullis's body reacted ahead of time in anticipation of what was coming in the future, just as I've described. He was shaken up by this. He said, it's spooky. He said, you're not supposed to be able to do that. You can't see the future. He said, we all know that, but I did.
If premonitions are a glimpse of the future, something about to happen, then our notions of time get muddled. I mean, most people believe that time flows in one direction. It would be impossible to see ahead.
One thing practically all physicists agree on now is that this idea that time flows like a river out of the past into the present and into the future is absolutely wrong. It's more like a psychological delusion than anything you can show by experiment. Paul Davies, the great physicist, says that there has never been an experiment in the entire history of science that shows that time flows in one direction or even that it flows at all. I've spent a lot of time looking at alternate theories and hypotheses about how time works. One, for example, an idea that's cordial to premonitions is what are called closed time-like loops, where time may circle back on itself from the future back into the present, carrying information from the future back to the present, which you might perceive as a premonition. One of my patients one morning came and told me that she knew she was going to die from ovarian cancer because she, the night before, had a nightmare in which she saw three little spots on her left ovary, and she knew they were cancerous. Her exam was normal. We did a sonogram, got a picture of her ovaries, and sure enough, she had three white spots on her left ovary. But happy to say, she got her diagnosis wrong. These were benign ovarian cysts, not cancerous lesions, so we're all happy about that. But she had one of these camera-like things that she had no business knowing about. She had no symptoms from it.
I'm sure there are people out there who have premonitions and ignore them because it challenges the notion of free will. You know, if the future is set in stone, I'm a prisoner of events that are bound to occur. What do you tell people who resist the validity of premonitions based on that fear of predeterminism?
Yeah, well, this always comes up. The future that you see, for example, in dreams or premonitions, is not fixed, it's not written in stone, but it's sort of fuzzy, it's ambiguous, it has wiggle room. And your thoughts and wishes and intentions in the present might be able to shift the probability of that future that you glimpsed. I like that idea because it resonates with people's experience who do see things in the future that are pretty terrible, but yet act to change them for the better. I opened the book with the experience of a young mother in Washington State. She had a nightmare one night that a chandelier in her baby's room fell from the ceiling, crushed the baby, demolished the crib. And in the dream, she saw a little clock on the baby's bureau that read 4:35. She wakes up, she tells her husband about it. He says, "It's just a dream, go back to sleep," which he promptly does. But she can't. She's horrified. She goes and brings the baby back to their bed. She and her husband are awakened a couple of hours later by a loud noise in the baby's room. They go in, and then sure enough, the chandelier has fallen from the ceiling onto the crib and demolished, absolutely wrecked, this crib. But the baby's not harmed because she acted on her premonition. Oh, and by the way, when she went back into the room to see what caused the loud sound, she saw the clock again. It was 4:35 in the morning. So she changed part of the future. She didn't change at all. The chandelier still fell. But she seemed to have shifted the outcome that she saw. Now, listeners can make up their mind about whether this is an example of a probabilistic universe and an example of free will to change the future or not. To me, it sounds suspiciously like it, though.
You encourage people to use meditation to cultivate their ability to receive premonitions.
You know, there are premonition prodigies out there, like there are in practically any other area of human life, athletics and math and music and so on. There are people out there who have these things all the time, and many of them are really shy. And I would love to see the social stigma melt away around this area. I must say that there's an effort going on now at one of the best think tanks in the country, something called the Arlington Institute, run by John Peterson, who is one of the most highly respected futurists working in America now. This is a Washington, D.C. effort. And the goal is to bring together people's premonitions, to collect them, and see if one can find patterns and processes that may be used in a predictive capacity to warn the nation of things that we as a people need to know about. Upcoming terrorist attacks, natural disasters, and so on. So listeners can go to arlingtoninstitute.org, the website, and if they have premonitions of things upcoming that the nation should know about, they can enter their premonition anonymously. Nobody will bother them, and they will be part of the database at the Arlington Institute. This is something worthy.
This is very X-Files.
You know, as they say, truth is stranger than fiction sometimes.
And didn't they say on X-Files, the truth is out there?
Turn that around and say, the truth is in here.
For Arizona Spotlight, this is Laura Markowitz.